Hello, it's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio, 18 stories of a beautiful downtown Chicago. And we are going to talk about men who like cats, and they're likely less likely to get a date. We've got some classic Carson, you know, Johnny Carson show. You can watch it every night on Antenna TV, and at 2:30 every morning we always play some highlights from the Johnny Carson show. And sometimes it's stand-up, sometimes it's bits. This morning we're going to listen to Johnny Carson's Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. That's got greatness written all over it already. So we also have the crazy story of a fake Burger King in Pittsburgh. So that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number from the Team Huckberg phone line. All right. Now, you heard Bill Withers, and you know what that means. That can only mean Kevin Powell. Kevin Powell here at WGN does sports on the Rokan show, covers sports, and joins us every once in a while to talk sports. Kevin, how you doing, buddy?
Nick, I don't own any cats. Does that help or hurt my chances at a date?
I think it probably helps. That would okay. According to the article. According to the article that we are going to be discussing, I think, yeah. And I happen to be a cat guy, so yeah. That explains a lot.
I'll take all the help I can get, Nick. Thank you for having me. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Now, are you coming down to the studios to do the show, or?
Yeah. I've been at the station every day during this whole pandemic and everything. We, you know, shout out to our engineers who we've had to piece a lot of shows together, because Rose's been at home. Kim Gordon, who does news for the afternoons, has been home. Lauren was at home for a while, and one of the producers, Brian Altimer, was also at home. So they were kind of piecing it all together, and they wanted a body at the station just in case, because it was kind of a complete puzzle putting it together. But it for the most part, has gone off fairly well. So for me, I've been in every day, and we were constantly cleaning and wiping things down. So
yeah, but we do the same thing. We're here every night, and we do the same thing. The studio is completely wiped down before we get in here. There's hand sanitizer all over the place. And, you know, we wear masks when we're in the hallways or in the lobby downstairs or any of that, you know, elevators, all of that stuff. You got to take the precautions. We're doing a show.
No, I know. You guys have been doing great. We've had a few people coming in that I hadn't seen in months that come in, whether it be sales or whatever it may be, just a couple people here and there, but it's still so much more quiet than it would be under normal circumstances. It's been 3 months, and it felt like one long day. That's the way I've described it. I mean, for me, I'm going in every day. I've had some sort of normalcy, but it still does. I don't know, people, what did I do last week? I don't know, might have been a year ago. I can't even remember. It's just a weird feeling all around.
Well, I think everybody is feeling that. I think everybody is like, I don't even know what day it is. And I think a lot of people are, you know, especially people who have been staying home. I mean, there is at least a wee bit of normalcy in the fact that, you know, we're coming in 5 nights a week to do the show. So there is just some sort of, you know, there is a little bit of normalcy in that.
The whole routine of getting ready and going to work, I think that helps for the normalcy part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people haven't been able to do that. So I think I would have lost my mind. I don't know how some people have done it, Nick.
Yeah.
I've just been happy to be going in. But it's still surreal. I mean, I'll walk out of the station. You know, it's starting to pick up a little bit for sure. But there was a moment there where I walked out, you know, right on Wacker there, and I didn't see a single soul. You're the movie guy. It was like experiencing a pandemic movie. It really was. You really didn't see anybody for a while.
Oh yeah. 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 I've noticed though, now traffic is starting to pick up on the Kennedy. There seem to be more cars out now. And it's starting to pick up a little bit. I mean, as you know, we're slowly opening up the state and the city.
For someone who takes the Kennedy every day, I've, I really hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, but I absolutely love the fact that I had the Kennedy to myself basically every day driving in. My commute was cut in half essentially.
It's funny because people are like, you know, like this is terrible, but boy, the traffic situation is good.
Normalcy will be good. We're inching closer, Nick. There was baseball news.
Yep, baseball news is there. Now, what have you been covering in the world of sports?
It's, you know, there's been news every day. It's been weird because I'm not doing my traditional previewing what's at night, who are the Sox playing, who are the Cubs playing. It's just basically been about return to play for all sports, and we've seen it a little bit. I mean, golf is back at it. It's week two. They did have one golfer test positive after having nobody test positive for a couple weeks. NASCAR, there were some storylines there, some soccer overseas, and now in baseball we got the news that the players have rejected the latest proposal from the owners, and which means at this point it's just going to be at the hands of Commissioner Rob Manfred, who now has, I don't want to say he's strictly, I mean, you know, commissioners in all sports always catch the most flack because they're out in center and the public sees them. But you have to keep in mind that commissioners for any pro sports league, they work for the owners.
Yeah.
That's who they work for.
Yeah.
So they are sort of a mouthpiece for the owners. And as much as people want to get upset with Rob Manfred over the whole situation, I don't necessarily think he's handled it all that well. There has been some flaws in it, but everything he says, he's just relaying what the owners told him they feel.
Right. Well, so, listen, Kevin, hang on a second, okay? Kev?
Yeah, you got it.
Hold on. Kevin Powell is with us. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Major League Baseball story that's out there and the proposal and all of that and more. It's Kevin Powell. You can hear him on the Rokan Show every weekday afternoon here on 720 WGN, and he covers sports, and he joins us usually about once a month to talk sports with us right here on 720 WGN. Hello, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up after 12:30, we'll be joined by Mark Shapiro, who's the president of the Bureau of Internet Accessibility. That's coming up. Right now, our good friend Kevin Powell is with us. You can hear him every weekday afternoon on the Rokan Show, covering the world of sports. Kevin is with us. Kevin, before the break, we were talking about the MLB owners failing to reach the deal and talking a little bit about Rob Manfred. So let's continue that.
Yeah, so essentially what happened yesterday at this point was the owners had sent the latest proposal to the players that was rejected overwhelmingly, voted 33-5 against, which means at this point, considering it's basically been a volley of proposal after proposal and an endless amount of statements released by either the Players Association or the owners, it's going to be at the hands of Rob Manfred, who, what I was saying was, you know, he does essentially work for the owners. So
right.
It sounds like we're going to have a 60-game season, Nick. Which is just, again, just so much to work out with this. And the beauty of baseball, in a way, is that it's a 162-game season. There's the ebb and flow of a season, right? And it does weed out the best teams. You play each other that much, at the end, the best teams are going to emerge. The NFL is great in its own way because it's one day a week, which makes it so big. But every sports league is a little bit different, and that the marathon that is a major league season makes it what it is for so many different reasons. What a 60-game season is going to look like, Nick. I mean, it's going to feel like a playoff atmosphere for every game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have one bad week, you can be done for the year.
Yeah.
So, look, I don't know. I know everybody's, it's what we do in 2020, right? We pick sides, who is right, who is wrong. I think there's blame, probably a little bit of blame to go around. I'd probably point two more fingers at the owners. You know, they want 60 games. The players wanted more games. Why? Because that meant more salary. For weeks, they bargained about prorated salaries, meaning, you know, they had agreed on this in March. If a player was set to make $10 million, the prorated salary, if it was cut in half and it was an 81-game season, they're going to get paid $5 million. It's pretty simple math. Then the owners backtracked on that and tried to do all sorts of different things. No, we're going to pay you 70% of that. Then we're going to do a sliding scale, this, this, and that. So I get the players protecting their money. And look, the they are, at the end of the day, the product of Major League Baseball. People watch for the players. If you don't have quality content playing the best in the world, you're not going to, it's not going to be a billion-dollar organization. I can see sides to all of it. The gist of it is where we stand now is that the players tonight, Tuesday night, Tuesday afternoon, by 4 o'clock our time, Chicago time, they want to know if they, the owners and Major League Baseball want to know if they agreed to have players start reporting their spring training. Well, shouldn't say spring training. It's already in the summer here.
Right.
But to essentially to a makeshift spring training. So another camp, which would start roughly July 1st, and it would be at home team ballparks. They're not going to go to Arizona and Florida. And with a league year starting about July 23rd, 24th, whatever that weekend is, that Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And then they play 60 games. They play to late September, and then there's a 10-team postseason. And there we go. That's our 2020 season.
That's so weird.
I know. I don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, think about it. Like, if 60-game baseball season, I mean, if the stakes are so high every single game, and things are going to be a little bit different because it is going to be a compact schedule, so you're going to have, instead of a 26-man roster, they're probably going to have a 30-man roster, and then what they're calling like a taxi club, which would essentially be like, you know, your fringe guys who are, you know, AAA, or we refer to them as 4A guys, who are kind of right in the middle between AAA and Major Leagues,
right.
And they're essentially ready to go, and they can pick off that club and pop them in if they need to. Because think about it. Like, okay, if let's say your star athlete, your star player rolls an ankle and has to miss a week during a normal, like, yeah, that stinks, but it's a week. It's 7 games. Okay, 7 games right now is more than 10% of the season. That would be equivalent to missing, like, 17 or 18 games of a season. So there's just so much to factor into it. Like, how do the pitchers handle this? How much time do they need to get ready, et cetera, et cetera? So there's – and that's the thing I've been telling people, look, the easy part was coming to an agreement about at least laying down the guidelines for a season, at least laying down a schedule. Now you actually have to go out and execute and figure out how you're going to do it. And they've had this much – there's been problems just agreeing on a plan to hold the season. Now they actually have to go out and do it. They have to agree on the health protocols, restrictions, guidelines,
right,
all those
right,
sort of things
right.
Where, you know, every state's going to have different guidelines. I mean, Chicago's certainly not, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there slowly. But Mayor Lightfoot said today or early yesterday that, no, she doesn't anticipate fans being in the stands. And I mean, it's going to be different state by state. And how does MLB handle that? There's so much to work out. So I don't need to be gloom and doom. I just don't get the sense that the baseball world is jumping up and down over the fact that we're probably going to hear that the players do approve of the owners and Rob Manfred's guidelines later tonight. The players are going to prove, but I don't know, you're a baseball, do you feel this overwhelming sense of, like, excitement and joy?
No.
I don't know, I have a weird taste in my mouth about it, Nick.
Yeah, no, I don't feel it, and you know, I'm a huge baseball fan, but I mean, you know, the people that I've discussed it with as well are just like, you know, I guess we'll watch
right.
baseball, I don't know. It's just it's very strange in every way. But you know, let's see. Here is Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, I love your show.
Thank you.
You know, one thing you need to talk about is how the owners can dig in. And you know, have either one of you heard of BAM? BAM Tech. BAM Tech is the media and technology that was a company, and each team got $30 million from the sale of a portion of BAM Tech, $1.5 billion. It wasn't – here, let me say this. The $1.5 billion purchase was only a portion of it, but the owners in baseball got $30 million. And if you Google search it, you can read it. And so you got the ownership is sitting there with $30 million in their bank account. And I got to say this, the players are trying to get whatever they can, and you know, that's where I believe BAM Tech is some of the reason for the standoff. And one thing I got to say that'll make you chuckle, and I'll get off. Jim Boughton is a friend of mine. He wrote that book, Ball Four.
Wow.
And Boughton made a comment. He says, "You know what? the owners have been kind of screwing over the baseball players for 100 years. And the way I look at it, we owe at least 50 more years of giving it to the owners. And it's kind of funny how he worded that. So yeah. Have a good night, guys.
All right, Mike. Take care.
Yeah, that's a great call from Mike. And look, I mean, I try to toe the line a little bit, and I try to be one-sided here. If I were to pick a side, I get where the players are coming from. I mean, look, 1994, we had a complete union strike. And to his point, on top of that, I know $30 million is a lot of money. During all of this, Nick, and I'm not kidding, during all of this, Major League Baseball struck a deal with TBS and Turner Sports, a $1 billion deal, reportedly, but many credible media reporters reported on it, that around $1 billion TV deal with TBS and Turner. So, and you know, look, Tom Regis came out with, well, you guys think we just have piles of cash? Yeah, I do think you guys have piles of cash. I really do. I mean, if you tell, okay, you tell. And look, I know it's not TBS handing them a $1 billion check, right? This is a lengthy, long-term deal, but like, you're going to be fine moving forward. You are. And as much as we can talk about, okay, sour taste in the mouth, I even have it a little bit. I'm not as excited as I thought I might be when I found out baseball could be returning. But, like, people say, oh, I'm never watching baseball. Yeah, you are. Baseball is good. Baseball's been around for 150 years in this country. It's survived everything.
Yeah.
It's going to come back. It'll be fine. It'll have eyeballs. And once it does come back, the disappointing thing is, like, they had a good opportunity to get baseball on TV as soon as possible. Like, during the day, Nick, when a lot of generations were won over by baseball, I mean, it wasn't, you know, you talk to a lot of people, you go out at noon, in a weekday, the game is on TV, kids will be watching. That's a golden opportunity. It's not a 7 o'clock game where, yes, it's prime time, but, like, you had a chance, all the kids are at home, all the families are at home. If there was a baseball game on tomorrow at noon, Nick, I don't care who's playing, every single one of us would be watching.
I agree with you. I know I would.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's a missed opportunity there. And that's one of the reasons it kind of stinks all around. Yeah.
Here's Donna. Donna, go ahead.
Hi. The question I have is, it doesn't appear that COVID has entered into any of the negotiations or talks. What happens if a player gets sick or tests positive? Are the other players going to be quarantined for 14 days? How is that going to impact on the playing schedule?
These are things that they're going to have. This is what we talked about, Kevin. These are things that are going to have to be discussed. It's a complicated issue.
Extremely complicated. It's a great question, Donna. All the leagues are working out. I mean, if you look at the NBA's return to play, they're stationing the entire basketball league at Disney World. like I'm saying, you could agree on anything to get back to play, but we just don't know with this virus.
Right.
And there's a million things to sort out. So I apologize for not knowing exactly what's in the return to play, and we still don't know for sure, but every league's a little different. I think the NBA, if somebody does test positive, they've got to self-quarantine and all those sorts of things,
but
a lot to work out.
All right. Donna, complicated, but thank you for the call. Hey, by the way, before we get out of here, if Marian Hossa is not a first ballot Hall of Famer on Wednesday, I'm going to punch somebody.
Thank you for putting my on my radar. I did not even know we were anticipating that Wednesday. Are they announcing the...
Wednesday at 3:30. The inductees are being announced Wednesday at 3:30 Central Time.
But he's technically not even... When do we have to wait? Isn't there a grace period? Isn't he technically still on the books?
Technically he is, but you know, I mean, he hasn't played for like three seasons. So
yeah, I got to take a look into that. But I agree with you. Whenever he does become eligible, if it is Wednesday or down the road, I'm with you.
Oh, just, first ballot Hall of Famer. There's just no question about it. He racked up 1,134 points in 1,300 games across 19 seasons with five different clubs. He scored at least 30 goals in 8 of those seasons, 40 goals 3 times, was the 80th player in league history to hit the 1,000-point mark. He's the only player in NHL history to reach the Stanley Cup Final in 3 consecutive seasons with 3 different teams. I mean,
I got to look into it. I don't know if he's eligible just yet, but whenever he is, and I always mix up the pro leagues, many years they need before they name him eligible.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Hossa was awesome, man. He was a huge piece to that whole thing.
My favorite Hawk, man. I loved it. So
there we go.
All right, Kevin.
Nick, thanks for having me, my man.
Thanks, buddy. Stay safe, buddy.
All right, you too.
Okay,
thanks, Nick.
See you, buddy. Kevin Powell. talk sports on the Rokan Show afternoons here on 720 WGN. Okay, we'll break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Mark Shapiro, who's the president of the Bureau of Internet Accessibility.